Good morning, everyone. On this great feast of Corpus Christi, the feast of the body and blood of Jesus that we celebrate in the Eucharist, and it's a feast that found its humble beginnings with a priest who was struggling. He was a German priest who was traveling down to Rome, but he was a priest who was struggling in his faith. And it was a struggle believing that the Eucharist truly and really changes from the bread and the wine to the body and the blood of Jesus. And so he was making a pilgrimage down to Rome, and on the way he stayed in a town named Bolsena. And while there celebrating Mass the next day, let me grab the unconsecrated host. During the moment of consecration, in which he prays the words of Jesus, "This is my body," and elevated the host in his hand began to bleed. And the blood that was coming from the host came down upon the corporal that's laid out upon the altar to catch any little pieces, any particles of the Eucharist. And the corporal became soaked in the blood which was dripping from the now consecrated host. And so Father Peter, bewildered at what was happening, he gathered together this corporal and he brought it to the Holy Father, Pope Urban IV, who was residing at that time in a town nearby, Orvieto. And he brought it to the Pope and explained what happened. And it's not as if the Pope right away was like, "Oh my gosh, it's a miracle! Way!" No, he was very cautious, actually. He said, "Okay." They took carefully, kept the corporal, and he sent those other priests, theologians, to investigate what exactly had happened in this little town at this Mass. And so they went and they spoke with the different people who were there at the Mass and what they saw, and that they as well had seen during the moment of the elevation of the host, it bleeding down upon the corporal. They looked into this priest who was a good priest. He was just a priest who was struggling, into his actual life, and found him to be trustworthy. And so they did this investigation to the point where the Pope said, "Truly, this is a miracle. Jesus, he comes to us at every Mass in the Eucharist. We're able to see him with the eyes of faith. But there are those rare instances in which he allows our eyes, our physical eyes, to see what is happening here and at every Eucharist. And this was one of those." And so Pope Urban IV, he had in that town of Orvieto a great church, a cathedral, a duomo built to house this relic of the corporal, in which one can still go there now and see it within this great, beautiful reliquary stained with the blood from the Eucharist. And of course, in recent ages, in our current time, people are like, "Oh, that was just a medieval forgery. It's a fake." They, a handful of years ago, did a study. They allowed just a small particle to be taken to see, well, what is it that stained this corporal? It is indeed blood. Pope Urban IV, wanting Catholics to be fortified in their faith and in their love for the Eucharist, he did something then the next year, which would have been 1264. He instituted a feast specifically for the Eucharist itself, this feast of Corpus Christi, in which we celebrate the sacrament, which is known as the source of our faith, but also the summit of our faith. God giving himself to us in this bread, in this wine, where it is truly, really changed into his body and into his blood. And he began the Feast of Corpus Christi over 700 years ago. And he asked a Dominican friar, whose name was Thomas Aquinas, to compose that Mass, to write the prayers for the Mass, and also the hymns that we hear. And we'll hear it during this time of communion today as well. And it includes the Tantum Ergo prayer that's prayed at adoration. And something else sprung up in the midst of this as well, starting with those earliest Corpus Christi celebrations. Throughout the church, the faithful and the priests, during this Feast of Corpus Christi, the host within a monstrance was brought out from the church into the streets of the cities, and there began these Eucharistic processions. And these Eucharistic processions were to bring Jesus out just as we receive him in the Eucharist each Mass, and we bring him out into the world. It's bringing him in this sacrament of the Eucharist out into the world with confidence. And that word, right, confidence, confidence, with faith. That those who bring him out, their faith in Jesus might be strengthened, but also those who even catch a glimpse of him, who catch a glimpse of him in these processions and see the faith of those who are carrying Jesus and accompanying him, that their faith might be strengthened as well and their love for Jesus stirred in the Eucharist. The processions were begun and they continued, in other words, because it was understood that something real changed, both in the people who were part of it and in those who beheld it going through their streets. The processions continued every Corpus Christi for about 700 years. In the 1960s, it almost entirely disappeared from most churches for about 40, 50 years, until about 20-some, a couple decades ago, and it began to become revived, where again the churches and communities began doing these Eucharistic processions. Why? Because of the conviction, the belief, and the love that it brings about a real change. Just as the Eucharist is truly changed, those who receive in them and those who bring him out, they are changed as well. Change is a funny thing for us weird human beings, right? Because we live our lives in which we're always doing, 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 busy, 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 busy. This is mostly my life too, just doing, doing, doing. But then when you step back and you pause for a little bit, like last week I was on retreat in which just stop entirely doing anything. One of the first things that always comes up when you stop and just step back from your life is you look at it and you see all these things that you want to change. Right? And you're wanting to, and you start pursuing that change, and you think, in order to make these changes happen in my life, I need to do more. I just need to do more, but I'm already so busy. And so we spend more time and more energy and more money trying to make these changes happen in our lives, which are usually pretty elusive. But here's the thing with change. Jesus desires change in our lives too, but it doesn't happen through doing more. Jesus wants change in our lives. And it doesn't happen through doing more. It's a change that he works within us. And the thing that changes us, it is the Eucharist. It's receiving him in the Eucharist. And it's also adoring him in the Eucharist. Well, we're not actually doing much of anything. He is the one that is doing the work. When I went to college, I really had no clue how to pray. Not really. I mean, I knew how to pray the rosary. You give me a little prayer book, I'd pray the prayers in that. But I didn't know how to pray in terms of actually speaking to Jesus, of contemplating or praying with Scripture. But there was a little chapel on campus It's called the Porciuncola, which was a model of a little chapel in Assisi that St. Francis had rebuilt. And it was this little peaceful place that I would love to go, and they would have adoration there. And I would just go and sit in there. I didn't really know how to pray, but I wouldn't do anything. I just went and I just began to just sit there because it was so peaceful. I just loved that. And something started to change. I desired more to spend time there with him. I desired more to receive him. Fast forward a number of years to when I was in seminary. And one of the summers of seminary, I did a 30-day silent retreat. I was just visiting with Father Christian Smith, who's the principal at Trinity, and he's at St. Pat's. He's getting ready this summer to do one as well. He has no clue what's coming. He has no idea. Neither did I either. And they tell you, when you do something that it's going to change you, but here's the thing, you have no idea how and in what ways God is going to change you. It's 30 days, and everyone, the last couple weeks of that silent retreat were pure, I don't want to say it, they were hell. They were rough. Because I started getting, I'd already had some, but they became really a problem. These massive head pains. And it was to the point where, like, I thought I would just have to stop the retreat because I couldn't actually pray at all. And I knew now how to pray more. But I couldn't even, like, read from the scriptures when I go to pray. There was no way I could focus my mind or be able even to speak in the midst of that. But my spiritual director, he encouraged me. And this is the wisdom. He said, don't worry about doing anything. Don't do anything. Instead, just go and be there. Place yourself in his presence, and he is the one that will do the work. He is the one who will bring about the change. The change that Jesus desires to bring is to make us everyone more like him, to be able, first of all, just to receive. To receive in order then, secondly, to be able to give, to pour ourselves out like him in the Eucharist. I want on this Feast of Corpus Christi just to leave you with three encouragements. The first is this. I encourage you and I warmly welcome you. Join us in the Eucharistic procession today. The four parishes of Dickinson, for the last couple years, we began doing the Eucharistic processions here again in Dickinson. It begins today at 2 p.m. at St. Joe's, and it processes to the steps here of St. Wenceslaus, to St. Patrick's, to Trinity Catholic Schools, and then to Queen of Peace. And I encourage you just to join us for any part that you're able to. After Mass at 7:30, a gentleman came up and he said, I would love to, but I'm just old and I don't think I can walk even part of that. I said, don't worry about that then. Just join us for even a part of it. Go to St. Joe's and see it off. We'll be here about 2:30 at St. Wenceslaus, just at the steps. Just come and be part of it, even for that small bit of it. It's about 90 minutes from 2 to 3:30. And I warmly encourage and welcome you to join us in that because it changes something in us and in those who behold it as well. The second is to receive Jesus in the Eucharist as often as your life allows you to. Yes, of course, every week here at Mass, but come to receive him at daily Mass as often as your schedule allows, and people have different states of life, but to come and to allow him to work the change that you're desiring in your life, and that he has placed that desire in your heart as well. It doesn't come from doing more. It comes, first of all, from being with him and letting him work that change. And third, the encouragement, everyone, spend time with him in adoration. Even, and it is the foundational thing, perhaps especially, just being with him. Spend time in adoration with him, or even if you come into the church when it's quiet and empty and just praying there. But it's the thing too, is the church, it's never empty. It's never empty, but it's always filled with his presence, with his real presence, which is the one thing, everyone, that always changes us, transforming us to be more and more like him. Ones who are able to receive God's love and then give it and pour it out as he does in the Eucharist.